and fill us afresh this morning. You make us men and women, make that our children and the young people, Lord, cause us to be full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. We just ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Make us like Jesus. Amen. Make us full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, full of the power and full of the love and full of the joy and the liberty of the Holy Spirit. We just want to give ourselves afresh for this today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's great to hear that scripture that Carol read this morning, because we try not to confer too much about who's saying what and who's doing what and how the meeting's going to go. We try and get into the flow, let God take control of the meetings that we have. And I've been thinking the last few days about, I was going to talk about prayer this morning. We've been doing a whole series on us being equipped in prayer. And the Lord just said to me, no, this week I want you to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's very important, because if we need to know how to be filled with the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can pray. And sometimes some of us might take that as that everything is okay in that way, but we actually need to come back and allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill us afresh, so that we can pray in the right way. And I was just meditating upon Jesus, and that's always a good thing to do, isn't it? Think about Jesus and what he's like. And you know, Jesus, Carol read about it earlier, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, Jesus said. And let's just go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Luke 4 and verse 1. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified brings out the, if you like, the full meaning in the Greek, explains some things. And in verse 1 it says, then Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to talk about how he was for 40 days in the wilderness, and he was tempted and tested by the devil. But the important thing is in verse 1, Jesus, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. I want you just to think about that just for a minute. What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit? Some of us might know that, some of us may not. But if you think about Jesus and you read about his life, you get an idea of what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. For example, Jesus didn't go around with his eyes closed all the time. You know, he didn't go out with his hands lifted up all the time. I mean, he did plenty of that. But he was a real man, and he knew how to laugh, and he knew how to dance, and he knew how to have fun. There was nothing religious about Jesus, and yet he was full of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
Amen. Yes.
He was full of the power of God, and yet he was the most ordinary man. And I believe that when a person is full of the Holy Spirit, they're not weird or nutty, we might say, flaky. Okay, but when a person is full of the Spirit, they're actually really normal. In fact, they're great people to be around. Because they've got the life and the power and the liberty of Jesus, and the religious side is out, and the reality of heaven is in. Are you with me? And there's a power at work in that person's life that will bless and help and heal and deliver other people too. And God wants to give us the Holy Spirit to make us whole, to make us free, to empower us, so that we can make Jesus known to all of those around us. And we had a great day yesterday. Some of us went into the town centre in Crawley and with Martin. Martin had this real vision from God to carry the cross, big cross he's made, and to use that to grab people's attention so they think about the cross, and then we talk to them about the cross. Hand them out the leaflet. Very simple, but it's very powerful. And but it's always good to go out just to talk to people about Jesus, because in those opportunities you have got no idea, and we have no idea of the seeds that we've sown and the difference it will make into people's lives. And it's great to lead people to the Lord as well. Jesus was full of and he was controlled by the Holy Spirit. And during those days he was tested and tempted. Now, the Lord wants you to be like Jesus, doesn't he? Do you all agree with me this morning?
Yes.
That Jesus, God, wants us to be just like him.
Yes.
Yeah? He wants us to be like him.
That's true.
And that means, think about Jesus, that he was free. He was at liberty. He had a very clear mind about who he was and where he was going. He had the power to heal the sick. He had the ability to tell others about Jesus. But there was this joy that was in his life, this peace that was just exuding from him, that he was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person, what we say, the third person of the Godhead. And the Holy Spirit comes to fill us, fill you and fill me. And to be in control. He is not controlling, but he wants to be in control. There's a big difference. You understand? You know, if I was to control Les, I don't, and I wouldn't want to either, but if I was to be a controlling person of Les's life, I'd tell him what to do and try and interfere with the way he does things. That would be a controlling person. But if Les comes to me and says, Paul, I want to know how to do this, what do you suggest I do? He's making room for me to come and give him some advice or to show him some perhaps a way he hadn't thought of before. That's allowing me to have a bit of control in his life. Not control him, but bring something in. And in the same way, we need to let the Holy Spirit come and take control of our lives. And the more that we ask him to come and take control, the more we will experience the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and actually directing our footsteps and speaking into our minds and giving us visions and dreams and speaking through his word and really coming to take control. And it's liberating. It's liberating to stand in the town centre and just be in the presence of the Lord and not feel, I haven't got to do anything here. I just need to be in the presence of God. And God will direct me what to say to a person. That's freedom. Yes. Nothing is forced. We don't force anybody. The Holy Spirit comes to set us free. And I want you just to look at verse, if you'd come with me to verse 14, chapter 4 and verse 14. Because as it so happens, this scripture, which scripture did you read this morning?
The same one.
Carol spoke out of the same scripture, which is interesting, isn't it? Do you think God might be wanting to say something to us today? Yeah. I didn't ring her and say, what scripture are you going to open up with this morning? And let's just read at verse 14. Jesus went back, this was after he was tested and tempted by the devil. He went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread through the whole region around about. And then verse 15, verse 15, and he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered the synagogue, as was his custom, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up and read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book. It was all done on a scroll, right? So it was unrolled before him. He was given the book of Isaiah. And as he unrolled, he went to the place where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. So Jesus was standing up reading this prophetic word, which was written all about him about 800 years before he ever came. He's reading this word to these people in the temple, probably maybe a similar number to what's here this morning. I don't know, but maybe similar number. And it says, and he said to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favours of God profusely abound. And he rolled up the book. He literally rolled this thing up, handed it back to the attendant, the steward, or whoever it was, handed him the scripture. And he sat down, and it says the eyes of everyone followed him back to his seat, wherever he was sitting. And it says that they were gazing attentively at him. Now, this scroll was read every week. This scroll was often read many times in the temple during meetings that they had there on the Sabbath. But when Jesus spoke these words, there was something, I was going to say, probably wrong word to use, magic, but there was something magic, right? There's something awesome, supernatural about the way that he spoke when he spoke these words.
He spoke with authority,
that's right. There was something that came out of his mouth when he spoke these words and read the scripture. And he began to speak to them. Today, he said, this scripture has been fulfilled while you are present and hearing. And all spoke well of him and marvelled at the words of grace that came forth from his mouth. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this just Joseph's boy, you know, who became a carpenter? And he said to them, you will doubtless quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have learned by hearsay, that you did in Capernaum, do here also in your own town. And he said, solemnly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable and welcome in his own town or country. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were closed for 3.5 years, and there was a great famine over all the land. And yet Elijah was not sent to a single one of them, but only to Zarephath in the country of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and yet not one of them was cleansed by being healed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all the people at the synagogue were filled with rage. So he's just delivered this incredible word. And he says, he's basically saying, it's me. This scripture is talking about me. And he began to prophesy over them that he won't be accepted in his own town or country. And then he starts talking about that out of the Old Testament scriptures about Elijah and Elisha. And they get they understand that he's talking about them, about them rejecting him. And this spirit of rage came upon the whole group that was in that temple. And rising up, it says, they pushed and drove him out of the town. And laying hold of him, they led him to the projecting upper part of the hill on which their town was built, that they might push him headlong down over the cliff. See, when we read this scripture, this is actually what happened. Now remember, Jesus has just proclaimed who he is. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Lord has anointed me, to preach the gospel of the poor and heal the brokenhearted. And here is the whole congregation in this, so if any of you feel like pushing me over the cliff right this morning... I've got good news that Jesus, because he was full of the Spirit, look what it says in verse 30. Passing through their midst, he went on his way. I've often thought about that. I've just tried to imagine what happened. That supernaturally, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, they couldn't push him over that cliff edge. Because this man was full of God. This man was full of the Spirit. And what they intended to do, what the devil intended to do to harm him, he was walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it says, passing through their midst, he went on his way. He just walked through them. He just turned and walked right through them. And they must have been wondering what happened there. Because angels were with him. And it says, he descended to Capernaum, to a town of Galilee, and there he continued to teach the people on the Sabbath days. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his word was with authority, ability, weight, and power. One of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us, when he fills us with the Holy Spirit, he'll give us authority. He'll give us his authority to speak his word. His words of life to the unsaved and his words of life to the saved. But he gives us his words of authority. And it says that he had words of authority, ability, weight and power, substance. And God wants to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit so that we are full of the authority of his word. That we have, there's a substance in what we say and what we do.
Amen.
I mean, it's full of God. It's full of his Spirit. And it says, in the synagogue, there was a man who was possessed by a foul spirit of a demon. And he cried out with a loud, deep, terrible cry, let us alone. What have you to do with us? What have we in common, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This is the man that was possessed with the Spirit was speaking these words out. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, rebuked him, saying, be silent. Be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown the man down in their midst, he came out of him without injuring him in any possible way. Why am I talking about these things? Because Jesus had spoken that word about being full of the Holy Spirit. And immediately there was an attack upon his life, but he walked through the midst of the people because he was full of the Spirit. He was full of the authority. The next thing we read about is Jesus is dealing with a man who's possessed by a demon. And he commands the Spirit to come out of the man and sets the man free because he's full of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting this? And they were all amazed and said to one another, what kind of talk is this? For with authority and power, he commands the foul spirits and they come out. One of the things that we need to know as believers, as Christians, is that we have authority over demons, over demonic spirits.
Amen.
Just like Jesus. But the key is that we're full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The key is that we're full of the power of the Holy Spirit, that he is filling us and flooding us with his Spirit. And then we'll be able to do the same things that Jesus did. And a rumor about him spread into every place in the surrounding country. Then he arose and left the synagogue and went into Simon Peter's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering in the grip of a burning fever, and they pleaded with him for her. And standing over her, what did he do? What did he do at this point? He rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she got up and began waiting on him. In other words, finishing cooking the meal. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, has just done, has spoke the word of God, right? He's been attacked, but he walked through the midst of them unharmed. He's cast out a demon in a moment of time, and he's now healed the mother-in-law of Peter because he wanted to have his lunch. Okay, and it says that she immediately got up and served them lunch and started to serve them. We're talking about Jesus being an example to us of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, at the setting of the sun, verse 40, indicating the end of the Sabbath, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands upon every one of them and cured them. Wow. And demons even came out of many people, screaming and crying out, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them, would not even allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Amen. And when daybreak came, he left Peter's house and went into an isolated desert place. And the people looked for him until they came up to him and tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, to the other cities and towns also, for I was sent for this purpose." And he continued to preach in the synagogues of Galilee. Wow. Why am I reading all these verses this morning? Well, the reason is that Jesus wants us to be full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and flood us, we're going to have a time where we're just going to pray for people this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to just meet with us afresh. And he wants us to know what it is to be filled with his Spirit. Amen. Filled with his power, filled with his anointing, so that we can really move in authority in God. In our homes, in our workplaces, where we live, wherever we go, that we carry that anointing. That anointing is within you this morning. And God wants to, for some of you, reactivate that anointing. For some of you, God wants to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit this morning so that he's going to come upon you anew. And it's interesting, Jesus knew how to go back to the Father, back to the Holy Spirit, to be filled continuously with the Spirit. That's why it says he went to a deserted place. He went to a deserted place in order to actually refill with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In John 1, verse 14, don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to give you a few references. It says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. That grace is divine favor and power. And Jesus was full of it. He was literally full of the favor and the divine power of God was upon his life. And he may not have had a halo, but his face didn't have shine with the presence of God. He was a man full of liberty and joy. And he knew how to have fun, good, clean fun. And he knew how to be serious as well. He knew how to pray. He knew how to laugh. He knew how to carry the peace of God and the presence of God. He knew how to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly. I reckon he was constantly saying, "Holy Spirit, just fill me." He was constantly depending upon the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to renew his strength day by day. He was leaning upon the Holy Spirit. He knew how to depend upon the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that the Father had given to him. Jesus was not on autopilot. You know, when we think about Jesus, we often think, or I do, I've often used to think, that because he was the Son of God, everything just came to him. Because he was the Son of God. He must have had some special, you know, he must have. But the Word of God says he emptied himself. Yeah. He left all of that which was his in heaven when he became a man. That meant that all that was his, he left behind in home in heaven, and he came on the same grounds as you and me. So that when he hit the age of 30, he then got baptized in water, which was the start of his ministry. And when he got baptized in water, it says the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and came upon him. And from that day forward, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. That was his start point of his ministry. Okay? Now the same Spirit, when the Spirit came upon him, only then was he able to preach. Only then was he able to teach. Only then was he able to heal the sick. No miracles had taken place that we know of before that time through Jesus' life. Isn't that amazing? Why did that happen? Because Jesus wants us to know, God wants us to know, We can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God the Father. The Holy Spirit comes to bring all that Jesus is and all that he's done and to pour it through into our lives, to fill us up. But what we need to learn is, first of all, how to receive from the Holy Spirit into our lives. And the second thing is how to go on receiving, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit day by day, even moment by moment, drawing from that heavenly supply. Does this make sense? And in John 15, verse 11, Jesus talks about he wants our joy to be full. Amen. He wants us to be full of joy. I mean, there's no point in having a bunch of miserable Christians going out to tell people about Jesus. He wants us to be full of joy, doesn't he?
Amen.
Like when Joyce is cutting people's hair there, she's full of the joy of the Lord, so she's going to minister Jesus when she's cutting people's hair, right? When we go into the town centre, if we're full of joy, we're going to spread that joy wherever we go. In the workplace, we need to be men and women who are full of the joy of Jesus. It actually says, as the scripture says, that Jesus was filled with more joy than his friends, than the disciples. He was the most filled with joy person that there was. And it's about time the church, I mean, talking to me, that we as God's people, that we should be so full of joy, that we should be a joyful church. We should be full of the joy of the Lord every day. That's a sign that we're full of the Spirit. Amen. If a man or a woman of God is full of the Spirit, they'll be full of joy. You can't have the one without the other. The Holy Spirit is full of joy. He's a well of living water. And when he comes to water our lives, he brings the joy of heaven, the joy of the Father into our hearts so that we can be full of joy too. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, the church had to make a decision about how they were going to look after all the widows in the church, because lots of widows were coming in and they had needs and they needed practical things like food and so on. And so what the apostles did, they said, well, we need to raise up a whole team of people, and here's the qualification. They need to be men who are full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That was the qualifications, to go and do something practical. They had to be full of the Holy Spirit and faith, because they knew if they just sent a bunch of miserable men to go and do a practical job, it wouldn't do the job. Because the apostles wanted in the ministry, even in the practical way, to minister the Holy Spirit in what they did. And so the same is true today. God wants us to be men and women, whether it's the practical side of things that we're doing or in the prayer place or witnessing, whatever it is that we're called, we are full of the Holy Spirit. You're getting the message this morning.
Yeah.
I want you to catch a vision this morning of your own life that God wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See yourself full of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
See yourself full of joy, full of his love, full of his peace, full of his power, because God wants you to be that way, just like Jesus. When they came to martyr Stephen in Acts 7, verse 55, it says that now he's having rocks hurled at him, he's been hit in the head, he's about to die. And there's this amazing scripture that says, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, there wasn't an ounce of fear in his face. It says his face literally shone with the presence of God. How about that then? If you and I were to be threatened with our lives for the sake of Jesus, I wonder how you and I would be. Well, it would show up whether you were full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. When fear comes, it means you're not. And God wants us to know how to be full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was such a man. In Acts 11, verse 24, it says that Barnabas was full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit in what he did. He was another disciple of Jesus and worked with the apostles. In Philippians chapter 4, let's just look at Philippians. Just come with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4 and verse 13. Paul makes this wonderful statement here. It's all true. He just said in verse 12, I know how to suffer, how to be cast down, how to be lifted up. I know how to have plenty and to go in and be in a place of need. He said, I've learnt in any and every circumstance the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. He says in verse 13, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Right, when the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers us. He empowers us with his strength. amen, to face whatever we need to face. He empowers us. He says, I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Okay, so Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That probably says that in your version. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have strength for everything in Christ. He empowers me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency.
Amen.
You know, God has given to you and me the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins and for our needs, he died for one purpose. It wasn't just to forgive us our sins. It wasn't just to deal with the rubbish in our lives. But the reason Jesus died on that cross and rose again was so that we could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The reason he died on the cross was so that you and I could be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We need to take hold of this morning, that sometimes when we preach the gospel, or someone, when we think about ourselves, we just think about one part that Jesus did. He's carried our sins and our needs at the cross. But you know, he's done something far greater than that. He died on the cross and he went back to heaven to pour out the Holy Spirit so that you and I could be filled with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Our senior helper.
He's our senior helper, our senior partner. And that's the purpose why Jesus died, was so that he could give us the gift.
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit, we often overlook the person of the Holy Spirit. We've forgotten, sometimes we forget these basic truths, and that's why we live powerless lives. That's sometimes why we get into negativity. That's why we sometimes allow the enemy to come in and do things that we shouldn't allow him to. But God says to us this morning, I want you to be full of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want you to be full of the power that I've made available to you, and learn how to be filled with the Spirit every day. Amen. Just turn with me to Ephesians 5 and verse 13. Ephesians 5. Verse 13. I like being around people who are full of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Because they're very encouraging people to be with. Because it's like being with Jesus. It's like when you're with them, it's like being with Jesus, because his presence is there in them and with them. And in Ephesians 5, verse 13, it says these wonderful words. Says, all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk carefully. Just say carefully.
Carefully.
Just turn to someone, say, see that you walk carefully. Amen. Why is God telling us to walk carefully? Because he wants us to be full of the Spirit. If we're not full of the Spirit, we'll walk in our own strength. We'll walk in our own understanding. We'll open ourselves up to the wrong things. But so Paul says here, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, see that you walk carefully, circumspectly, not as fools, not foolishly, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So God wants us to redeem back, to buy back the time. In other words, make today count. God can do today, because I'm full of the Spirit, far more today. He can do in one day far more than what he could do when I wasn't saved.
Amen.
He can do a lifetime of stuff just in one day.
Yeah.
God can accelerate the whole process of our lives.
Amen.
Just simply because we're full of the Spirit. And sometimes we do things and we try so hard, it can take years and years and years and years, and we do very, very little really in God's economy. But when the Holy Spirit comes to fill us, we can do in one day what was perhaps has taken a lifetime to do. The day of Pentecost is a great example of it, because on the day of Pentecost, in one day, maybe just in 1 hour, suddenly the Holy Spirit came down, because there was a group of people who said, we're hungry and we're thirsty for you, God. And they united together. And as they united together, the Holy Spirit poured himself out into that room. And in one day, God suddenly came. And a whole bunch of people got transformed. And that fullness of the Holy Spirit came on a group of people called the church. And they went out into Jerusalem and spread the good news of Jesus all around Jerusalem. And that day, 3,000 people got saved. That's a suddenly. They're the kind of suddenlies that we want.
Amen.
Amen. I don't believe that I'm going to live the rest of my lifetime just waiting and waiting to see large numbers of people being saved and healed. I believe we're living in days now That as we let the Holy Spirit fill us, we're going to have God suddenlies come into our lives.
Amen.
We're going to see the log jams get removed.
Yes.
Because we're men and women of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to see the devil move out of the way and the kingdom of God come in power.
Yeah.
And we're going to see not just our own lives change, but the lives around us of people being changed and transformed.
Yeah.
And see the church come into a fullness that we haven't yet seen the church come into. This is the vision God has for the church in this nation. That God wants the Holy Spirit to come and take his place. That's why he wants the church back. That's why he wants his church back into his hands. Not in our hands, but in his hands, so he can do what he wants to do.
Amen.
And it says here, verse 17, therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We can only understand God's will when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray to God and let the Holy Spirit begin to direct us through the Bible, through the Word of God. And as we wait upon him, he will direct our steps.
Yes.
Amen? That's what it means to be full of the Spirit, that he will direct our steps. We'll walk in his ways. And God doesn't want any one of us in this room this morning to be unwise, but he wants us to understand very accurately the will of the Lord in your own life.
Amen.
So you understand about your family, and you understand about your work, and you understand about your job, and you understand about your... Understand about the ministry God's called you to do. There's an understanding that God wants to unlock to us. But he can't do it unless the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and floods us with his presence. And in verse 18 it says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with, what does it say? The Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to be drunk with wine. There's nothing wrong in drinking wine. There's nothing that says in the Bible that you shouldn't drink any wine, although that may be a good idea for some people. But what it does say is don't be drunk with wine. In other words, let me be in control.
Amen.
Let me come and take control. And it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the Greek, this word means be filled and go on being filled. It's like going to the tap and leaving the tap on and coming underneath that tap and just drinking and drinking and drinking. And this is the picture God has for us, that he wants us to be filled with the Spirit, not just once only, but to learn how to come back to the tap, back to the source, and to drink again, and to drink again. And it means to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Actually go on thanking him and receiving from him every day.
Yeah.
Amen. So that when you're busy at work, when your mind's on lots of things, because you've filled up with the Holy Spirit, he is providing you, and there's a resource flowing on the inside of you that is doing you good.
Amen.
And enable you to cope under pressure. And he's strengthening you. And you're learning in other moments to go back to him and just to drink afresh. And you're learning through your day how to just draw upon the supply of the Spirit because he's living in you.
Amen.
Fountains of living water. You don't have to try and whip up the Holy Spirit. If he's living in you, he's in you.
Yeah.
And God just says, just let the wells of living water be released on the inside of you. And you'll find that the ground of your heart will be watered. And be filled with the Spirit. Learn how to be filled with the Spirit. Just thank him for the Holy Spirit. Make room for the Holy Spirit to fill your heart and to fill your mind. Fill your body. Fill your spirit. And Jesus says, be filled with the Spirit. Go on being filled. Keep coming back to him and say, Lord, I just need more of you. Just fill me afresh now. I just draw from your supply this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been poured out. I don't have to go up to heaven to bring you down. You are here today. You're living in me, Lord. Now just fill me up afresh, Lord. I just thank you for the fullness of your Spirit this morning, Lord, that's in the church. I thank you, God, that you want me to be filled with the Spirit. Thank you, you want me to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, you want us as a people to be filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Where you come, Lord, and have your way. Where you pour out, Lord, into our lives. Where you water our dry ground, Lord. Refresh us again, O God. Fill us with joy. Fill us with peace, Lord. Fill us with your power, Lord, we pray. We need you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're here, Lord. We praise you, O God. We thank you, Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, just come, Lord. Come this morning, Lord. Come and fill us afresh, Lord. Come and take control, Lord. Come and fill us anew, Lord. Come and do a new work of the Spirit, Lord, in our lives, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you, Lord. We need your anointing. We need your power, Lord. We thank you that you're here today, Lord. You don't disappoint us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, we praise you today, Lord.
Yes. Thank you for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come afresh today, Lord. Come and fill us afresh, Lord. Jesus. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. We're drinking of you today, Lord. We're drinking of the river. We're drinking of the fountain of life, Lord, today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, O God. Shike la ba sorota maha. Bre la samade. Oh, fill us afresh, Lord. Fill us anew, Lord.
Lord, you are the
fill us afresh, Lord Jesus. Rabade la borobo sama. Kidela. Oh, yes, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've got your Bibles, just look at Matthew 9 just for a minute. Just sit down just for a few minutes and we'll pray some more. But Matthew 9, verse 14. Jesus, it says that the disciples of John came to Jesus saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus was talking about the fact that he would soon be going, dying on the cross and rising from the dead. "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. Or else the wineskins will break. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved." And the Lord's been talking to me just the last couple of days about the new wine. The new wine is the Holy Spirit. And he says, "I want to pour my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, out into a people, not just a person." He wants each one of us to be full of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray for any of you that want to receive prayer this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. But as you come forward for prayer, understand this, that God wants us as a church to be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a difference for just one person being full of the Spirit, or even us as individuals having our own well being filled up. And that's right and proper. We should. But God wants to fill us as a church with the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense?
Yes.
If you look at the day of Pentecost, what God did was a miracle, because God actually got a group of people and made them one. He got a group of people and they actually became one in heart and mind and purpose. Now that's God.
Yes.
Only the Holy Spirit can do that.
Yes.
He actually made them one in heart, mind and purpose. And he poured his Spirit not just out into one person, but it's like the Holy Spirit broke down barriers between people. And when those barriers were broken down in people, it's like God did a work in the whole body. We are called a body. And your body, just look at your hand this morning. Your hand is a part of your body, right? Your flesh is a part of your body. It's made up of millions of cells and everything, that the blood that runs through and everything. You're made up of a complex body that is one, that works together. And God says, we are the body of Christ. We are the people of God. Jesus Christ is our head. And he uses the picture of a body, which is a great picture. And he says, in the body, everything functions and flows together.
Amen.
When we get sick, it means something's gone wrong. When something's out of order, something's gone wrong. But God wants the body, the church, to be in order, to be healthy.
Amen.
And he talks about the new wine and the new wineskins. And the new wine is the presence and the glory of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit coming and being poured out into the church. And the new wineskins are the people of God. That's you and me. The new structures of us that contain, if you like, the Holy Spirit as a church. Does this make sense?
Amen.
God's looking in this nation. He's looking for churches. He's looking for the new wine to be poured into new wineskins. That means we've got to be flexible.
Yes.
You can't pour new wine into old. If you go and pour out new wine into an old structure, it normally breaks the structure up. It usually completely splits the thing open, because the people have learnt old ways and got into religious habits and got hardened in their hearts towards God, so that when he comes and moves in a fresh way, everything gets hardened towards him. But what God's saying to us is saying that we as his people are soft and open to him. If we'll be soft and open to him, he can come and have his way, not just in me and not just in you, but in us.
Amen.
God wants us to be an us church, both here and what he's doing in East Grinstead, so that we're together. That we are harmonized together in the Holy Spirit. And only he can do it. But I noticed that what they did was they prayed together. They spent a lot of time praying together. And as they prayed together, God rubbed off the things that the barriers, some of the barriers that were between them, some of the differences that they had. And as they loved and prayed together, then the Holy Spirit says, now I can come. And he came and did what no one could do. And he's going to do for us what we can't do ourselves. He wants to refresh us and fill us.
Amen.
And I want you to go away today just with this sense of this week, practice being in the presence of God.
Amen.
And drawing from the river of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again this morning, if you know Jesus as Lord in your life, then you've been given the Holy Spirit. But God wants the Holy Spirit to be like a well of living water that literally wells up and overflows your whole being. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not just as individuals, but as a church. And you know, there's not very many churches that are like that. Do you know that? There aren't many churches that are really like that. And that's why God's getting us back to go back,
Amen.
Back to the Word, back to the Scriptures, back to the truth, to let him come and take control and fill us.
Amen.
And make us the people of God he wants us to be. Because only through churches that are full of the Holy Spirit that our nation is going to be changed.
Yes,
it's only through the Holy Spirit filling the church and churches in this town that our town is going to be changed,
Amen.
That Crawley will be changed.
Amen.
It's not just individuals. That's where we start. But then we come together. God brings us into, if you like, flocks or local churches. And in these local churches, local flocks, right, where Jesus is the good shepherd, he comes and pours out the new wine. Are you ready?
Yes.
Giovanni, just come and play on the keyboard. Some anointed spiritual music. And just let the Holy Spirit come and fill us. And I just invite you to come forward this morning. Just come to the Lord himself this morning. Just come and receive from God.